14 minutes past the hour right now. It is a Monday morning Catholic Connection. Teresa Tomeo with you. Good to be with you. 877-573-7825 is our phone number. If you have a question at the bottom of the hour, Dr. Meg Meeker joins us as she always does on a Monday morning. Right now, though, great to have my dear, dear friend, sister, wonderful Catholic writer and speaker in her own right, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, back with us on a Monday. Happy New Year, my friend.
Oh, Happy New Year, Teresa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. I heard you had a great weekend in Corpus Christi.
Yes, and now being that you're from Connecticut, you appreciate the fact that I went down there and it was like 70 on Friday and like, I don't know, 72 on Saturday.
Because I'll be going there in June and I was hoping it would be more like wintertime to go down.
Yeah, because it does get really, really hot there in the summer.
I know. I used to live in Texas for about 6 months and it was too hot for me.
But the people and that diocese is just wonderful.
Oh, great, they're great wonderful.
Yeah.
They are. I'm glad you had a great time there. Big crowd, huh?
Yeah, a big crowd, about 1,000 people, so really enjoyed it. Now, I wanted to ask you, before we get into the idea of taking a spiritual retreat, a winter spiritual retreat, you're working on a new book, and I know it's taking up a lot of your time, but it's an important book, and I want to talk about it for a minute or two so you can let our listeners know.
Oh, thank you, Teresa. It's going to be called The Heart of Catholicism, and I was asked by Penguin to write this book. It'll be like their standalone Catholic book, so I feel very, very honored to be doing it. It's taking really every waking moment of my time. I'm not complaining. I love doing it, but it's very detailed, very intense, very well-researched. But it will be done in almost a conversational tone so that it will be easy to understand by anyone. They want it to address lapsed Catholics, atheists, any religion, to understand what is really at the heart of Catholicism. So it's been great writing it, and I need a lot of prayers, please, because I have to get it done very soon because they need it so that they can get it out by September.
Okay, I was going to ask you, when is it going to be published?
It's going to be published in September. So It's really something. I still haven't sunk in with me that I'm actually doing this book for such a huge publisher and such a huge topic.
That's amazing because this is going to be a very important catechetical tool out there.
Yes. I think so, and hopefully something that will be on bookshelves of, in every director of religious education library and, that people can refer to. So please, everyone, pray for me as I'm writing this. It's all unfolding and coming together nicely by the grace of God.
And I understand someone that's very near and dear to our hearts is writing the foreword for you.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I'm very honored to have the foreword by Joan Lewis, our dear friend over right near the Vatican. You can see it right out her dining room window.
Mm-hmm.
And just so thrilled. And you are going to be endorsing it. I'm very honored to have that. And so, God's putting it all together. Just needs more prayers to, double up the hours in the day.
So how much, you're talking, it's like their go-to book for the Catholic Church. They ask you to concentrate, because the Catholic Church is so vast in history and tradition and teaching, did they ask you to take, certain chunks of, our faith and concentrate on one or the other more heavily, or how are you getting all this in? Any idea how long the book is going to be?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I have it down to the page. It's going to be 356 pages long.
Wow.
Isn't that funny that they know exactly how long it will be? It's going to be 28 chapters. With a couple appendixes in the back and some front material in the front. And it will be, they ask me to just put the table of contents together and give them what I felt would be what we needed to discuss. And they really are emphasizing that they wanted to speak about the heart of Catholicism. So, why are people still coming to this church after all these years? Of course, we know why. Because of Jesus starting this church, and we know, so it's to put this all in words and to get in every little bell and smell and every facet of Catholicism there, from the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the sacraments, the all the rituals, everything that we see and sense and do and believe in this faith of ours, this wonderful faith of Catholicism. And so it's all being expressed in a book. So hopefully this will be something that will be helpful to people to understand what really is at the heart of our faith.
Well, we're just going to cover you in prayer, because what a great responsibility this is.
It is
an honor, but a big responsibility too.
It certainly is, and I'm praying constantly about it, and I just can't even express in words how it is to do this book. It's really quite amazing, and very honored and very you know, feeling that responsibility on my shoulders at the same time, but just totally trusting, you know, in God to, you know, do the writing.
Well, I can't think of not only a better person, but also a more important time, Donna Marie, to put this out there. You know?
Well, I don't know about the first part of what you said, but the second part, certainly, you know, I agree with, because it's so, yes, and as I'm writing these little details about marriage and a man and a woman and all of these important things about life and the church, I just write it and say, yes, you know, This is great that it's going to get in print and it will be, I mean, there's a million, I shouldn't say a million, but I'm sure there are many, many wonderful books out there by so many wonderful authors that say that, you know, similar things, but I'm just very thankful that, you know, I could help in some way to get the truth out there.
Wow.
Which is what I try to do with all of my writing and all of my books.
Well, I look forward to when it comes out so we can really talk about it on the air, especially, and get Joan, maybe the three of us could talk on the air and with,
yes,
Joan endorsing it, that's phenomenal. And also she's writing the foreword for it too, so and what a great person to have with her knowledge of the Vatican.
Oh my gosh, she's a Vatican expert, and it's wonderful to be in touch with her on a regular basis now, too, as we discuss, you know, I send her chapter by chapter.
Right.
So it's great to, you know, be in touch with her and to know that her, you know, beautiful thoughts and insight will go into the beginning of the book in a way of a foreword. So
I think we need to go back to Rome fairly soon to do some more research with Joan.
Oh,
what
I do too.
Think?
I've thought of it quite often. We have to go back by the grace of God. That would be wonderful. My daughter, Mary Catherine, keeps saying to tell, ask Teresa when she's going to come with us to Rome again.
From your lips to God's ears. I'll go to Rome anytime, especially to spend time with Joan Lewis, because it's just such an experience to learn from her and to just kind of hang around and be her little shadow for a few days.
I know. I would just love that if she had the time to show, you know, and there's so many places I didn't get to see when we were there the last time, because that was right after the accident and we had the whole big congress going on. And So, by the grace of God, if it's meant to be,
It'll be. We're just going to pray for protection over you and to move out distractions so you can concentrate on this book, because obviously this is a very, very important project that's going to do a lot of good. On another note, speaking of doing good, is one of the things that your books, and in particular the one that you're writing for Penguin that's coming out in the fall, can help people do is what we wanted to bring you out on the show this morning for. Yeah, I was thinking a lot about the fact that, you know, the fact that now you and I are back on the speaking circuit after the holidays, things are starting to get hectic again. And, you know, and that's true for everybody, whatever they do for a living. And, you know, if they're a stay-at-home mom, if they work, you know, outside the home, things start to get busy again. It's busy enough on the holidays. We have a little slowdown and then it picks up. And sometimes we lose, you know, that grace that comes, you know, with the very special holidays and the feast days that we have in the Catholic Church, you know, especially during Christmas time. And Christmas is just over so quickly, and we don't have time to really focus and relax. Any advice on really how not to let this pace take a hold of you again in this new year?
Sure. Well, like you said, it's full speed ahead into the new year, so you kind of, you know, leave the graces behind you almost and just try to get going on your new year and your work and everything else. So a few ways maybe to help is, it's a perfect time of year when you think about it, because we're starting a fresh new year. We need to recharge our batteries after, you know, all of the hustle and bustling we've been doing. So it's the perfect time to nourish our soul. So maybe a few things. It's important to unplug the technology when you can and find some silence to hear God speak to your soul. So even if you do a private retreat within your own home, if you can't get out to another retreat, say you're snowbound. I mean, we've got so much snow here and slippery roads. I don't get out as often as, you know, I would like to for daily mass or adoration, because I'm stuck at the house. So I have to be content with what God gives me in my domestic church and realize that, you know, here I can also find the time to quiet my soul, try to get away from the distractions, you know, put the phone away for a while. Take it off the hook if you need to, and have your little time there and make a private retreat. But also, plan ahead if you can, and try to get involved with a directed or a silent retreat. Oh my, a silent retreat for women, that's interesting.
I haven't done one of those yet. I don't know if I would do very well in a silent retreat.
Oh, you would,
I'd like to try, though.
I think you would really, you would love it, and you would come away from it with so much. So if you ever can do that, that would be great. So I think to plan a retreat ahead of time so that you know you have that to look forward to. The women in Illinois, where I just did a retreat last weekend in Rockford, Illinois. Do it every year for the last 22 years. They actually schedule the retreat after Christmas, so the women have something to look forward to. That was a little hairy, worrying about the weather and the delays I had in the flights and different things going on, going out there and coming back. So it's kind of tough in the winter in certain parts, unless you're in Hawaii and Texas and the warmer parts. But I think to try to get a plan so that you know you can have that quiet time, whether it be in your own house, whether it be going to the church, to the Blessed Sacrament, and commit to, you know, a certain amount of time that you can do it, God willing, of course, because we know how things happen and life gets in the way sometimes, and we have to take care of what we're doing, you know, with our children. Or And so I think to try to start a group, gather some people together. There are many, many, not to just, you know, give attention to my studies, but there are so many women around the world who gather together to study my books, particularly one that just came out called The Domestic Church Room by Room, because it is a study guide, and Grace Cafe. And so you can get people in your own church, get together, do a little study group, start a retreat if you can't find one. But if you can, you know, have access to getting out to one, I think that would be a great thing to do in January or February to start your year off and to have that time.
I also think just getting into the habit, if you haven't already, of doing your daily scripture readings and finding some time for yourself in the morning, you know, set apart from the busyness of the day before the day really begins.
You're right. The mornings are so, so important. And I read the Magnificat, but, you know, I have the Office of Readings. And I always impress upon people that the morning is so, so important to say your morning prayers, whether they be kneeling at the side of the bed or you know, at the breakfast table with your family. Just make sure you get them in the morning, because we know how crazy busy things get, and we're running all over the place, like, I hate to say, like a chicken with its head cut off, you know, trying to do so many things. A lot of them, you know, we put this pressure on ourselves that we don't really need to be running around so much, but the morning prayer is so, so important, because then it sets the tone for the day.
As I say, it sets the whole tone, yeah.
Yeah, and no matter what happens later, even when it is, you know, something may seem very chaotic and we're feeling so, you know, like this is not a prayerful time right now, but we know we've offered it all to God and asked Him to sanctify it. We've done it in the formal words of the morning offering or in our own informal, you know, conversation with God. So it's giving it to Him in the morning, and then this way our day is sanctified, and we know that, you know, He can use us and work through us to help others. So then there are no coincidences throughout the day. You know, when you have a delay with the plane or when, you know, something goes wrong, you just say, okay, Lord, You're in control, and, you know, there's a reason for this. And it's just amazing to see sometimes the things that happen because of something that we thought was inconvenient, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot that could go by you with not even, you know, a blink of an eye of realizing it, that are opportunities, you know, for growth and for grace.
Many opportunities for growth and grace. You're right. And even just, this sounds funny, but even just a squished tube of toothpaste, okay, you're going to think, what? Well, speaking of mornings, and, you know, many a wife might see that squished tube of toothpaste on the sink, whether it be their child or their husband, that just kind of makes a mess. And what are you going to do, get aggravated? Or maybe stop and see it as an opportunity for prayer. Prayer for the husband or the child who just squishes that tube of toothpaste and it's not exactly the way you would like it to be, and you're going to go nuts trying to constantly correct everyone. Why not? Not that we shouldn't teach the children proper things to do, but why don't we see things in a different light as an opportunity to pray for that person and to
That you're blessed to have people around the house that squish toothpaste tubes.
Yes. So
think about the little hands that run that tube.
Yeah, exactly. So many ways to look at things, right? We just have to pray to God that He gives us the grace to see it in that way, so that we can not get aggravated and just go on from there. And because so many times you just things get in the way, and you can either choose to be aggravated or you can choose to see it as a grace from God.
Yeah. Well, sweetie, we're out of time again. Every time you're on, it just, I don't know, just goes by so quickly.
But
give us your website, and
we'll
keep watching for the book, and we'll talk more about it as we get closer to your publishing date. Give us your website again.
Okay, www.donnacooperoboyle.com, D-O-N-N-A-C-O-O-P-E-R, OBOYLE.com. And from the website, you can get to my three blogs. I started a mom's group on Facebook the other day, and it's really getting some conversation going there.
All right, so great. We've got to go home. We're out of time.
Okay.
We have to take our break at 29 after. But hang on. I want to talk to you during the break. Coming up next, Dr. Meg Meeker.